Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm your radio show. I'm your radio show.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. You're very welcome to a slightly overdue episode, but time is a construct. It's a social construct. It doesn't even exist, and we're here to talk about the best music of the month of September, which is just a very recent period of time. But actually, Andrea, I've been listening to a lot of old stuff this month. But I'm not gonna talk too much about that. But I will have a track at the end to play you that and there's a reason for it too. But a lot of old music. But we're going to be talking about, you know, recent music we dug in September. September was the start of our beautiful autumn in 2022. And we're fully in autumnal season. How are you feeling about the season that is your favorite?
It is my favorite. I'm feeling really good about this autumn. I'm seeing a lot of leaves, seeing a lot of good autumn outfits from people, which is always very exciting. It's been listening to and making a lot of playlists. Autumn is my playlisting time, really. I make a lot of playlists. But to be honest, actually, the past couple of months, I think September included, I've just been a bit like, I don't know, you go through those periods of time where music isn't like, I don't know, it's not scratching the itch. It's not hitting you as strong as it usually does. So I made a playlist. It currently only has one song, but it's called Music Is Still Good. You Just Need to Listen to New Songs, You Dum Dum. And I've one song on it. From a band called Roar, and an album called Impossible Animals, and it's called Fading Kitten Syndrome. So that was a song I listened to and I was like, ah, yes, this is hitting me. But I think September things started to kind of click again. A few of the songs that I've chosen for today's episode sort of woke me up out of that slumber. But look, it happens to all of us, especially in our business, you know?
That's why I wanted to pick an older song later on, because actually most of my September listening was stuff that I was really familiar with, or like, was a bit old fashioned, or like just wasn't new music. And that's okay too. But sometimes you need that as well. And there was a lot of albums that came out in September. But to be honest, I haven't gone through a lot of them. I've been following my own ears recently. Yeah. So, and that's okay. And that is okay. But I do have a lot of, some recommendations from the month. So we start. Actually, do you know what's been really good? And a quick shout out to our Patreon and our Discord, patreon.com/99. Look, if you're looking for a lovely little community of music people, and you want to do something like what we had, a lovely thing started in the Discord. You get Discord access through the Patreon. There's a thing called a Music League.
And, I don't want to talk about week, it.
Oh, you're upset. Well, in fairness,
I don't want to talk, you might say.
I don't want to talk. Every week we've been doing There's like 10 or 12 people who come in, and we have a league. You pick, there's a theme each week, and you then pick a song from Spotify and everyone votes on it. Mm. And I didn't really know what was going on at first. Then I got the first week. And neither did you, as it turns out.
Well, okay. I'll tell the listeners the story of what happened to me, the absolute devastation. The first week, and I'm starting to get to, I don't want to say an age, but a stage in my life where new things, especially if they're to do with tech, frighten me. And I get very confused. Like, do you remember when you first had to teach your parents how to text on phones that had like buttons and you had to explain, yeah, like, no, mom, yeah, if you want the O, you need to press 6 3 times. And they're like, what? That's me with this music league. So anyway, I downloaded the thing. And the first week was karaoke songs. What's the best karaoke song? My choice was The Winner Takes It All, for the following reasons. Starts slow, has a really, really big high note at the end that you can show off with or fail. Both are fun. And it's more of a bop than you remember. Like, it's a little bit faster paced than you remember. So I was like, Winner Takes It All, pop it in. I didn't realize that. So I put my song in, but there's two parts to this. So the next day, before a certain time, you need to vote and allocate points. So I think it's kind of like Eurovision-y, right? Where you give, like, you know, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, and so on.
Yes, let's say it's Eurovision.
I think it's fair to say that my choice ran away with it. I very much won. However, I didn't
you won
know.
By 3 points, I think.
Yeah, it was good. I'm really happy with it. And I just didn't see the many notifications that people were sending me saying you need to vote or else you're going to lose your points. You're not going to have your points. It won't count as a win.
If you're not in, you can't win. And you did not win.
I won and I didn't vote for other people, so it didn't count.
Matthew Doolin won with Edge of 17. Huh? For second choice, Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks.
Very good. Very good. Whose choice was that? Do you know?
Matthew Doolin. Challenging song to sing. Great for people who don't take themselves too seriously if they can't belt it out like Stevie.
Yeah.
There was some good choices in there.
What was
Total
your
Kids
choice?
At the Heart.
Did you do
that? Mine was, I went with my gut, and that was a weird one. Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good. Like, yeah.
I said, when in doubt, go with the cheese. But it is a hard one to sing, in fairness. So there was Under Pressure, Queen of David Bowie, good one in there.
Another one that I was going to choose was Islands in the Stream for a duet.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a nice
Pulp,
one.
Common People was in there. Mm. I think it should be a bit of a challenge as well. But also,
I think so.
You know, We've since done two. We're in their fourth round at the moment. We've Autumn Songs, which, you know, I mean, your favorite theme. And then Songs Not in English was last week, which was an interesting one. Are you not doing it anymore?
No, I don't understand it. I am going to, when I have a bit more time, I'm going to sit down and learn. And figure out what to do. Because I think I don't have notifications on my phone for it. Anyway, it's very boring, but like, I just need,
you're boring,
I need somebody
now
to like sit down with me and explain, like, what time do I need to do it at? Is it every day? What's the tea?
When you see the emails that says submit soon enough, and then afterwards when it says there's a playlist, you have to go back and log into the website and vote. Anyway, this is all very boring for anyone who's listening who doesn't
get involved,
know what we're talking
guys.
About. Yeah, we're doing Song of Two Halves at the moment. I have a peach of a song.
Oh,
but I think it's great because like you get to discover new tunes as well in a way. So,
Song of Two Halves, that Frampton one. Do you feel like we do?
Well, we'll see if somebody picks it.
Autumn
song was more of a feeling than a real autumn song. It was Jose Gonzalez and Crosses, just a. Kind
oh,
of
that's a good one.
A tumble vibe. But there was two Nick Drake songs in there, so that's kind of give you... And Big Teeth Change was the number one autumn song.
Oh, that's a very good choice, yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, that's the Music League. If you want access to that, it's patreon.com/995 for a month. And you also help support us as well as like participating in a lovely little chat on Discord as well with lovely
It
community.
Is the best community anyway. And I love them all.
All right. Much. Time for us to talk music. Andrea, your first choice, please.
Yes. This is one of, if not the song, that woke me up in September to just feeling excited about music again. It is the Arctic Monkeys, and the song is called Body Paint.
My teeth are beating and my knees are weak. It's as if there's something up with the wiring. Come poke your head behind the mountain peak. Don't have to mean that you've gone into hiding. So predictable, I know what you think. Watching your every move, I feel the tears are coming on. It won't be long, it won't be long. Straight from the curve of shoes.
Now, wasn't that lovely?
And it wasn't Paul McCartney, it was the Arctic Monkeys. I just love this direction for them. There's been a lot of discourse around the Arctic Monkeys. And I mean, I was chatting with a friend of the show, No Encore's Craig Fitzpatrick, recently in the WhatsApp group about the Arctic Monkeys kind of post Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino shift into this more croony harmonic stuff. And there's been a lot of like fans who don't like it. And I'm sure you saw a lot of discourse around the recent kind of their set lists, and you know, they're not playing Mardi Bum.
But the album's not out yet.
The album's not out yet, but I mean, the two songs we've had, There Better Be a Mirror Ball and this.
Yeah, certainly
I think
you're not
definitely
gonna get.
They hint towards like that we're still in the era of Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, but it, like sonically, but I think lyrically, you know, I think I said last time when that song first came out, like much more grounded. And you find that with this song as well, you know, it's a grounded song lyrically, but very, you know, very orchestral, very Sgt. Pepper's with the strings, like really, really creative and just a very pretty song, I think. They debuted it during an intimate set in the King's Theatre in New York. And from what I read about it, the crowd were, you know, in awe of it. I have no idea if they had like strings on stage with them, but I'd really like if on their next tour, it is a kind of a, you know, a strings affair. It is a bit orchestral. I think that would be a really nice... this would be a really nice song to experience live with, you know, the strings and the orchestra and things like that. Because they're the Arctic Monkeys, you know, they're, you know, biggest band in the world, maybe, in terms of being able to sell out, and are still putting out music, you know, non-legacy, biggest band in the world. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, why not?
I mean, does the 1975 probably take that now? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Who also have a new album out.
They do have a new album out this week. Yeah, I'm excited for it. But yeah, well, my point is that the Arctic Monkeys can afford it. So they should do it. Yeah.
They didn't an Electric Picnic now. They didn't.
No. Unlike Animal Collective, who this week very sadly had to cancel their UK and EU tours due to just costs.
Yeah.
Very grim.
There's a lot of stuff going around at the moment. Turn. I mean, it's rising costs of everything. I mean, I can understand why it's happening, and it's not just Brexit, it's just
everything. It's just a combination of post-pandemic, Brexit, inflation, just all of it, like the war, like it's absolutely everything just colliding. And once again, it's musicians and artists and people who work in the creative industries that are
there was very, a good thread shared in the Discord today. I don't know if you saw it, but Lorraine is her name. She put up something about you know, the reason that people are canceling gig, you're seeing a lot of it at the moment, just saying, you know, I'm begging you, do not add to the touring discourse something as heinously naive as buy merch and wear masks. Mm. Now, it's much more complicated than that. And it goes on to say stuff like, you know, there's big structural issues, you know, popular bands have big expenses, smaller bands are given bad rates, like typically a support is 150 or 250 quid. You can't do that. And if you're doing a new music, like if you want to, an example, like a band who wants from Ireland who could is offered a gig maybe in Europe and you might be offered 300, 400 quid, you can't take four or five people over to do that on 300, 400 quid.
Oh, that's not even
But ultimately, the Lorraine one said, you know, at the end of the day, what I'm realizing that being an artist is just being a small business. Under capitalism, businesses are expected to encourage and behave in predatory and selfish ways to survive. And she's like, the music industry is no different, but let's believe in an alternative. I don't know what the alternative is. Maybe just more direct support, really. But it's really tough out there at the moment in terms of touring. So,
That was it was an aside, but, you know, something that did happen kind of recently and worth noting. That's not to say that you shouldn't wear masks and buy merch. Do, please do, especially on Bandcamp Fridays. I ordered a lovely Sorka Richardson, who we will talk about in a few minutes, t-shirt of her new album on Bandcamp Friday, and I was absolutely delighted with it. So
great.
But yeah, you're up next, Niall. Who you got?
Yeah, I got an album from an artist called Eliza, who you may know as, she was formerly called Eliza Doolittle, and was kind of released an album in 2010 originally, like talking, she was in her early 20s, do you remember?
Was she in the kind of Kate Nash kind of?
Yeah, that kind of vibe. She had songs like that.
A bit rockabilly or something.
I'm not sure about that, but just more... Definitely, like, it was cute pop music. It was maybe a little grating as well. She had a song called Skinny Jeans.
Yeah,
which was a big one.
God, yeah.
Yeah. So she has since completely changed tack and has released this gorgeous album of really, like, late night lo-fi R&B kind of vibes. So I'm going to play a track from it. The album is called A Sky Without Stars. And this is one of my favorite tracks from A Tear for the Dreadful. A track from Eliza, and again a real like about turn in terms of what style she formerly made. There's stuff here that reminds me of D'Angelo and Aaliyah, and it's a really beautiful album. It's kind of like one of those if you ever needed a companion piece to that lo-fi music that's on YouTube, that station that's on YouTube, it's a bit like that. It's like
my fave.
R&B, it's neo soul, it's a bit electronic, it's a bit lo-fi, and it's that kind of lovely quiet intimacy that's there. And I put it on last night and I was like, some really nice like head nodding kind of grooves on it as well. Not a big vocalist really, compared to some other R&B singers, but for sure I think it's a really rich tapestry in what she does as well, because it's quite pared back, but there's a lot of bass on it. It's a lot of warm sounds on it, and very 70s in a way. And I really like it. So this is Eliza. The album's called Sky Without Stars.
Would you have her 2010 song, her hit, would you have that to hand to remind people?
Oh yeah, yeah, let's do that. With your attitude, I got the mind to walk away.
I really don't like your arrogance.
Yeah, I remember.
Or your policies. 99% embarrassment, but just one quality.
Yeah, whistling vibes.
Yeah, it's the kind of Kate Nash, Corinne Bailey Rae, that sort of era, kind of not.
It was like the time.
Pop twee sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with that or either Kate Nash or Corinne Bailey Rae, both of whom are very talented. But yeah, that's certainly a turn.
Yeah, for sure.
Very cool. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And I feel like it's still a bit, I mean, I haven't seen many people talk about it yet, but yeah, I just think it's really great.
My next choice is from good friend of the podcast, More Me Than You, I think, with the last album. It's Way's Blood. Wide's Blood? I don't know, actually. She has an album coming out soon, the follow-up to Titanic Rising, and it's going to be called And in the Darkness, Hearts Aglow. It's the second in an album trilogy, and she's just released a song, or she released a song in September, rather, called It's Not Just Me, It's Everybody, and it sounds like this. So I guess sonically more of the same, really, in terms of the sound. It's a really lovely song. It really kind of opens up later on in the track. And it's a song, she says, about kind of loneliness and how being kind to each other isn't enough in the modern world, but it's a start. And yeah, I really like it. I love her voice. She's always very restrained. She's very, very capable of doing kind of big notes, but she tends to avoid them. You might get one on an album. And I think that kind of restraint is really nice because she, a lot of the time, lets her instrumentation, that kind of very lush orchestral sound, do the talking. And she's kind of just part of an overall sound as opposed to being kind of forefronted within it. And I really, really like that. I love the arrangement on this song. I just think it's one of those that, like basically everything on Titanic Rising, you just kind of seep into it. And I don't know. First time I heard it, I found my mind wandering so much within it. And then when it finished, I was like, oh God, that was a whole journey there. So yeah, very, very excited for that album, which is coming out, I think, in a couple of weeks, pretty soon. And yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you weren't November 18th.
Fully convinced by Titanic Rising, I seem to remember. But maybe did you come back to it or you liked it?
Not really. It's nice. I just didn't go back to it a lot. I find it at the moment, even things I like, I'm not going back as hugely as much as I would normally in the past, maybe. Mm.
Sorry, November 18th is when the album is out.
Yeah. And she plays Dublin on Sunday, 12th of February in Vigor Street.
Yep.
So that's good.
I didn't catch her last time for some reason. So I'll go to see her this
time. You've never seen her then, have you?
No, never seen her.
Well, now's your time. Now's your time.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, my next track is from an artist called Sudan Archives, who released an album called not that one. Natural Brown Prom Queen in September. And this is the song that is called A Selfish Soul.
If I cut my hair, hope I grow it long, back long, back time like way before. If I wear it straight, will they like me more? Like those girls on front covers. Long hair, make them stay little longer. Stay hair, stay straight, though we feel the shame. By the curls, waves, and natural things. Curls, waves, and natural things. Okay, one time if I grow it long. Am I good enough? Am I good enough? About time I embrace myself and so. Time I feed myself and so.
So Sudan Archives, the track is from Natural Brown Prom Queen. And she did this song on Colbert just a week of release as well. She's from Cincinnati. She's a rapper, singer, and violinist, as you can hear there. And I've always really liked her stuff. I think she releases on Stone's Throw. And I've been featuring her for a number of years now. But I think this is kind of like next level stuff now. And she seems to have blown up in a big way, has a lot of followers and listeners on Spotify now, and is playing in Dublin very, very soon, Whelan's on the 21st of November. I think that'd be a great gig. It's worth watching the Colbert performance because it's really, you know, it's dynamic and it's really interesting. And I think it's somebody who's playing a violin is a bit like the Lizzo thing. You're like playing the flute, you're singing and you're rapping. You're like, no, well, she's playing the violin and she's, and I think the show has definitely stepped up with, in terms of like the people on stage with her and all that kind of stuff as well. So I think it'll be really interesting. So that's 21st November in Whelan's, Sudan Archives. And the song is called Selfish Soul.
Cool. And that's the one that she did on Colbert, is it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, next up for me is a band called All Vivés, whose favorite movie is The Vivitch. And the song is called Belinda Says. It's from their new album called Blue Rev. I am presenting this as a song because the album came out only last Friday, I think. And I haven't gotten around to a full listen to it. So this is just a song I liked in September. So here it is. That's always so. Yeah, as I said, their new album, that's their third album, follows up from 2017's Antisocialites. Always will be familiar to anybody who listens to any kind of, you know, best of indie, best of guitar, best of like indie pop playlists. Even if you don't think you know them, you do. Archie Marry Me is in my boyfriend's opinion, the best like guitar pop song since Teenage Kicks. It's an absolutely perfect song, and I think this song is just, oh, I just felt so relieved when I heard it. I was like, oh, it's really nice to know that Always are still really good, and that they make such catchy tunes. I love her voice. I love how big their songs sound. I love how important the kind of domestic lives within the lyrics sound. You know, this time she's having a baby before she wanted to get married. You know, it's all very good. The chorus reminds me of another song, and it's been driving me demented trying to figure out what it is. The melody of it, the da,
podcast@909.com if you think of what that
please,
is, so you can
please get in touch if you think you know what song it reminds me of. But yeah, I think it's really, really great. I'm actually gonna listen to the album today, but the album came out in October, so I might talk about that. It's been getting like rave reviews across the board, best new music on Pitchfork, and I'm gonna listen to it today, and then it might make an appearance in the Best of October the end of this month. So
super.
Yeah.
Okay, my next song is it's actually an album. It's an album, guys. Mm-hmm. It's an album vibe.
Whoa.
Vue Farka Touré and Crying Bin made an album together called Ali, which is a tribute or a sort of a collection compilation of covers which don't sound like covers from Vue Farka Touré's dad, who is Ali Farka Touré, one of the most famous African guitarists ever, Malian guitarist who died not too long ago. And this is a beautiful tribute to his father and the band from Houston, Crying Bin, who I absolutely love. There's a bit of alchemy going on here because Crying Bin are really good at doing loads of different styles, and I think they're a perfect foil for Vue Farka Touré here. Here's a song from the album Ali called Diarabi. So that is Vue Farka Touré and Crying Bin. The album is called Ali. Very apparently recorded in just a week. And so I think this works so well because, first of, there's a couple of different facets to this. With Ali Farka Touré, who died in 2006, and his son being called the Hendrix of the Sahara, there's obviously a tribute there, a very personal tribute. He's playing some of his dad's songs, which are, you know, some highlights and some B-sides and some well-known songs as well. So it kind of feels like some sort of greatest hits compilation, but filtered through the lens of his own family. But then Crying Bin bring this other thing to it where they have always done this kind of, maybe they might play some Ethiopian kind of jazz feel, some dub reggae stuff, some Latin American stuff, some Asian. They bring a bit of everything because their heritage is mixed as well. Their albums, Con Todo El Mundo in 2018, 2017, 2019 was great. 2020's Mordecai, brilliant as well. So they do that kind of like psychedelic live band thing, and they're a great foil for what's going on here, I think. Great band. I saw them at Electric Picnic. They're so cool. They're just one of those fucking cool bands. You're like, oh, right, they're just cool. Yeah. They look cool. Three piece, like just brilliant band. I can't recommend it enough. So it's really nice to hear this combination as well. I think this is an album that came together over some fish and chips in London and then recorded it in a week. So it was all vibes. So I think, lovely stuff. So the album is View Farcatory and Crang Bin, and Ali is the name of that album.
Excellent. My next choice is also an album. Keep an eye out next week because we will be talking to Sorka Richardson about music that inspired her latest album, Smiling Like an Idiot, which is, I think, one of the best Irish albums that have come out this year. I wrote a review of it on the Journal of Music. People want to read it, but here's one of my favorite songs from it. It's called Spotlight Television.
We hold our nerve, get the love that we deserve. Won't let the signal die, keep calling in the blackout. Won't let the line go dead. If we're in the spotlight, television show. The brakes, he's pumping blood with his pious heart. Fuck off, spit from his old red car. Don't let him turn on.
This is the follow up album to 2019's first prize Bravery, which was also an excellent album, very highly acclaimed. We had Sorka on. I seem to remember one of the last podcasts that you and I did in your old office before. Oh, yeah. It was maybe January.
God, it was. Yeah, it was. We reviewed Andy Schauf.
Yes. That episode, yeah. We had her on to chat with us, and you know, 2 months later, obviously we locked down. So unfortunately, first prize Bravery didn't get, you know, the amount of touring that it deserved. She didn't get to play festivals that summer. She's kind of a perfect festival artist. She's the kind of artist that if you were walking by her at a festival, you'd hear and you'd be like, I'll go check this out. Which is the best way to discover music. But yeah, unfortunately, that wasn't to be. That album was about her time or was written while she was kind of living in America. This time, obviously, album written over the pandemic and the various lockdowns in Dublin in her grandparents' house. And I believe recorded at least partly in that house as well, is much more concerned with Dublin and finding a home here or feeling as though you might not have a home here for various different kind of political and personal reasons. It's a really wonderful record. I think, again, not much has changed, a bit like Waste Blood. Like sonically, it's a similar sound. Fans of the first album will like this second album as well, or will love the second album. But I think that the bonuses for me are her songwriting has just become a lot more immediate, I think. There's some beautiful, beautiful lines throughout the record, and she's really kind of honed in on how to say something in as few words as possible. You know, like even like she sings on one of the songs, 525, Dublin City's Shutting Down. She doesn't need to say anything more than that. But she goes on to say, like, time is moving kind of slow, but the weeds and roses grow. And that just to me was like just immediately brought me back to like walking down the N11 near my house in like, you know, spring of 2020 and noticing that like even though the world was shut down, Dublin was shut down, like the tulips and the daffodils all along the N11 were still growing and Dublin City Council weren't getting out to like cut the grass on like the greens around the place. So everything was just overgrown. And it's just a really, really transported me back in such a simple lyric, which I thought was so beautiful. Yeah, the sound of the record, like it's guitars, it's synths, her voice is still that anchor. It's still that kind of, again, she's not a huge singer, but she kind of whispers things to you, you know, like you feel as though you're sharing in a secret with a friend when you listen to Sorka Richardson. And I think it's a really, really beautiful album. It's an album that's worth listening to straight through in one sitting and just kind of getting lost in it. I think it's a really good follow-up, and you know, expectations were high after first prize I cannot say the name of that first prize bravery. I can't talk anymore, which is great for a podcaster.
That's fine.
But Sorka Richardson, if you haven't listened to the new album, please do. She is playing the Olympia on
the 20th of October.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Because that's the day I'm not going to be in Dublin for 8 days.
Yeah, you are...
I'm going to New York for a while. So
A while,
I'll take a break. hopefully, it all goes
for America.
Well. Yeah,
I'm going to make you a little playlist.
Are you?
For when you step off the plane. Welcome to New York, Taylor Swift, America, Simon and Garfunkel. That's all I've got so far. but these are the. I don't foresee myself ever, you know, like going to New York, but. If I did, I have a lot of songs in my head that I would want to listen to while I'm in New York. Autumn in New York. You have to listen to
obviously.
That. Perfect. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for that.
Your last choice, second to last choice.
Second to last choice is an Irish artist called Brick Nasty. It's either called Ina Crueler or Ina Crueler. I'm not sure. They are a band formed out of Ballymun at the beginning of 2020. Woo! You may have seen them around at the moment. They are doing a lot of gigs. They do a lot of gigs. They played Ireland Music Week last week. They are flat out basically playing gigs, it seems. They're kind of they look kind of like they're going to be a punk band, but they're actually not. They're kind of an R&B soul jazz funk band, but with an approach from hip hop and punk kind of buzz. So, but then again, having said that, what we're about to listen to here isn't really any of that either. So, and it is worth listening to.
They're it's full kind of surprises.
This song is a bit of a rich tapestry of different things. I'll play a bit of it now and we'll come back and discuss a tiny bit more. So it's Ina Crueler, Ina Crueler. It's a song that has a lot going on, and I think central to it seems to be what sounds like to me some dialogue or recorded dialogue, maybe possibly from family, about the nature of family and relationships and grief and moving your way through the world. And I think there is parts of that in there. Very interesting band. Certainly I had them play, they played Output. And when we put the new music showcase in Belfast in February, they play a lot at the moment. Like I said, you find them at the Sugar Club a lot, but they are playing the Guinness Cork Jazz Festival as well. So you can check them out if you're going to that, because there seems to be actual jazz at the Guinness Cork Jazz Festival this year. Well, fair play to them.
cool.
Actually, stuff.
They
happening.
Sound really cool.
Ina Crueler or Ina Crueler. I'm not sure. Brick Nasty is the band. Yeah, they're cool. There's something going on there, and I think an exciting new band for sure. Yeah, there's some good stuff on this year at the Jazz Festival. Like Jeff Parker's on.
Every
the
year,
new power generation. Did you know that?
And then I don't.
Yeah, it's just awkward timing.
It
for
sneaks
me,
up
usually,
on you.
But yeah. But Brick Nasty playing down there. Do check them out. And like I said, the new power generation from Prince. They seem to be playing on Saturday, the 29th of October. Wow. Right. Okay. What's your next choice?
My next choice is my last choice.
It's your last choice.
Exciting. It's Joe. It's Joe Keery. It's his awesome musical side project, I guess, to his acting career. Side note, I watched a movie with him in it. What was it called? He plays a murderer. I should have checked this before. It's called Spree. It's very fun. It's like an independent film. He plays an Uber driver who is also a serial killer, but is also a streamer. It's very fun. If you like Joe Keery, watch that movie. It's a very good performance from him, even if the movie's a bit silly. But anyway, we're not here to talk about his incredible acting nor his hair. We're here to talk about his music. This is his second album now. It's called Decide. It was the follow-up to his debut album, which was called 2020, which was criminally kind of under-listened to, but very, very good album. And this one is much more, I guess, experimental. We still don't get a lot of the man behind the mask. He very much performs within a character. He doesn't want people to come to his gigs to see Steve Harrington, and that's absolutely fair enough, or to see Joe Keery. Joe is a very kind of recognizable, even in terms of how he dresses, kind of musical project. And this song from the album Decide is called Half Life. It's just really cool and really kind of scatty and sporadic and everything but the kitchen sink kind of thrown at it, and I really, really like it. So this is Half Life from Decide by Joe. So that's Joe. It's just
sounded
really
a bit
cool
like Phil
album.
Collins.
Yeah, there's Phil Collins on there. There's definitely kind of like, there's like sledgehammer moments on it. There's one song that I also really like called End of Beginning that is a bit more melodic than that song we just played. Some of it sounds like it could be off the Stranger Things soundtrack, which I think is kind of like a fun little wink to that side of his career. But he's just a very, very good musician. He's very creative. A lot of it is that kind of like jazzy reharm sounding stuff. His voice is great throughout it. It's not always that like distorted down the phone kind of sound. Sometimes he is properly singing. And some of the lyrics are very funny. Some of them are a little bit more personal. Edge of Beginning is quite a personal song. Yeah, I just think it's really good fun. It's just like a good fun record where you're listening to it and you're like, ooh, ooh, what's that? What, ooh, what? A lot of like surprises. And yeah, I think he's a really good artist, and I would like him even if we didn't know him. Do you know what I mean? Which I always think is a good, it's like if an actor has like a musical side project. Maya Hawke, for example, who's also in Stranger Things.
Yeah, I haven't listened to her music yet. What's it like?
It's really, really good. A bit more kind of acoustic guitar and vocal, Joni Mitchell inspired sort of stuff. But I mean, damn, everybody in that cast is like in a band or like singing on Broadway. Like they're just the most talented bunch of kids, I swear to God. But yeah, that Joe album is really great. And I would highly, highly recommend his first album, 2020, as well. It's, yeah, just good fun. Good, clean fun.
Lovely. Mm. Great. That's Joe on D-Side.
And Joe is spelled D-J-O, if anyone's
D-J-O, my final choice is, as I referenced at the start of the show, an older cut. So it was my birthday, as you know. Thank you for your quiz.
you're more than welcome.
In our recent episode.
Literally the least I could do. So, yeah.
Do you know what I gave myself for my birthday?
What?
I gave myself the gift of YouTube Premium. And do you know why I did that?
I got YouTube Premium this month as well.
Why did you do it? I'll tell you why I did first. I did it because there's always all of this like live mixes or old things or bootleg things that I just I want to listen to, but because of the nature of YouTube, the way it shuts things down off you, you never get to listen to all this stuff. And if you're in a car, like you need to leave it on because it doesn't play unless you have it open. So basically I was like, for my birthday, I'm going to give myself the gift of YouTube Premium. And one of the things I want to listen to on YouTube Premium, because it's not obviously available on Spotify, is a kind of a DJ mix album by Liam Howlett of The Prodigy, which came out in 1999, called The Dirt Chamber Sessions Volume 1. There was never any other version or anything else that came after that. But it was basically a DJ mix that he made for the Breeze Block on Radio 1 around that time. And it slammed full of tunes, all loads of scratching and like DJ vibes, like loads of very eclectic, loads of different things happening in it. There's like, you know, some rap classics, and then there's also just all sorts, really. It's a very fun DJ mix, and like the kind that you got in the 80s and 90s, where it was just like slamming the Beastie Boys into Public Enemy, into Sex Pistols, into Mixmaster Mike, Primal Scream, all that kind of stuff. Just loads of different kind of music in there. And the tune that I wanted to hear in that context is Babe Ruth, the Mexican, which is a song that I heard from this. And just one of those tunes that I really, really love. And I really don't know much about Babe Ruth at all. And I meant to look up, they were English. And that's what I did find out today, which I always thought they weren't, because obviously the song, the Mexican, the way they sound very... look, I'll play a bit of this. This is actually from the mix itself. I can only play this on YouTube. And... so yeah, let's play a bit of that section from the Dirt Chamber Sessions Volume 1. Yeah, that is Babe Ruth, the Mexican, from 1972, into the B-Boys, Rock the House from 1983. I think Mixmaster Mike is in there somewhere.
Why don't clubs play mixes like that? I would go to the club. I'm telling you. That's awesome.
It's hard to do it live. That's why it's so impressive as well. It's a very impressive mix. Slammed.
Get good.
48 tunes into 51 minutes he did for this one.
That's
so
awesome.
And that was when I really was like, okay, this guy is really good at what he's doing. So that's Liam Howlett from Prodigy. Prodigy present the Dirt Chamber Sessions Volume 1. So yeah, listen to that on YouTube last month on my birthday, actually. And I was like, yeah, great. Enjoyed awesome. That a lot.
I'm glad you got YouTube Premium. So we got it because
I might start including an old song every month just for the crack.
That's a good idea.
Maybe.
Because there's a lot on there that you can't get on Spotify, obviously. Like Harry the other day was listening to that that Mad Villain and Sade, the Sade Villain remix album, and a lot of the early James Blake dubstep remixes that aren't on Spotify are on there. But mostly we got it because on Wednesday nights we watch University Challenge and Only Connect. Yeah. Quiz night, Wednesday night. And we watch them on YouTube because we don't have like normal proper telly. And we were just sick of ads. And we were like, fuck it, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's
that's the thing. Premium. That's like, I didn't even mention that. The fact that you don't get ads on YouTube, amazing.
Well, that's like the reason we got it. But now I've been listening to Joanna Newsom, whose music isn't on Spotify. Joni Mitchell, whose music isn't on Spotify. So there's a lot of people. There's a lot of benefits to Spotify. But there are a lot of artists that I love who don't have their music on there. So
I have J-New's albums on vinyl, so I'm good with that.
I do, but I like to listen to her when I'm walking about as well. Especially this time of year. But any other stuff that you enjoyed this month? I sent you a voice note about having watched Bad Sisters.
Let's talk about it. It's great. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, it's silly as hell, but it's a great cast.
Great, and, everyone in it is so good. Like, there's no one that isn't good in it.
Did Sharon Horgan direct it? She wrote it?
She wrote it.
Isn't that the vibe?
She produces it. I don't know. No, I don't think she directs it. I think there's different directors.
Oh yeah, sorry, there is. Yeah, but she developed the episodes.
A lot of women directing. I noticed it just in the kind of the credits as they come up. But it's really good. If anyone hasn't watched it yet, would highly recommend it. It's very bingeable. I watched it over 2 days at the weekend. I did basically nothing else at the weekend but sit on my couch and watch Bad Sisters. And yeah, it's very fun. Sharon Horgan's just amazing, which we all knew anyway, but she is great. Have you watched Catastrophe? I've never watched that. That was her other
kind of only briefly. No, I've never watched much of it. No.
Yeah. Because I've definitely got it because it ends, Bad Sisters ends this Friday. Is the finale, so I'm going to need something to kind of scratch that itch. So I'm going to give you a podcast recommendation, which I haven't done in ages and ages, from good pal of the show, Alan McGuire, who hosts Juvenalia. Quick plug, I did a Halloween special over on Juvenalia about the movie Hocus Pocus that everyone should go listen to. And Alan,
I can give you a recommendation for what not to watch. Don't watch Hocus Pocus 2. Don't do it.
Oh, no, I won't. Don't you worry. But
please don't.
That episode, there's also a zine that Alan made about a very specific moment in the movie where the witches are walking down the street and there's a little kid dressed as Sonic the Hedgehog, and he made a zine about that kid dressed as Sonic the Hedgehog, which is very cute. But he recommended to me a podcast called Normal Gossip. It is hosted by what's her name? Is it the Kelsey McKinney, who is a American kind of writer and cultural critic, that sort of thing. And it's so, you know, the feeling you get when you listen to true crime where you're like, oh my God, I'm so gripped. I'm so like, but then it also comes along with the guilt of like, oh, a person, usually a woman, has, you know, died. And I have a weird feeling now being like gripped by this. Normal Gossip is a podcast about, so people submit a piece of gossip that's happened in their real life. Like, nobody's gotten hurt. There was one, the first one I listened to was about the story of a girl who like moved into a new apartment complex, and basically there was like a marathon fraud, like her nemesis in the apartment building like pretended that she'd run a marathon, but she hadn't. And it's just like all of the gossip in the, like, you know, the residence committee and stuff around that. And it was just so gripping. I was like, there was twists and turns, and it's like listening to a true crime podcast, but no women have been murdered and basically nobody gets hurt. And there's also just really interesting conversations about kind of the nature of gossip and the kind of sociological role that it plays in, like, kind of bond making and things like that. So yeah, highly, highly recommend Normal Gossip. I'm now binging it, and I haven't had a new podcast to, like, really binge in a while. So I'm delighted. So yeah, those are my recommendations.
Great. Lovely. Well, it's kind of spooky season now. So I watched It Follows last night for the first time in a long time.
Oh, what did you think? Fucking
scary movie.
It's good, isn't it?
I mean, I've seen it before, but, you know, it's just that central premise of the film is so good. It's like, you can't, how do you escape?
I love all those, like, really wide shots, especially the ones, like, during the day. It's so hard to make those kinds of things menacing. But, I love that movie.
Yeah, great. Other than that, TV shows, The Bear, a show about a chef who returns to his Chicago family business to kind of try and save it, which, to be honest, I've nearly finished it and I'm still not clear why. There's a couple of discrepancies in this show, but I'm enjoying it a lot because the food in it looks amazing. But I'm also like, they run a sandwich shop. Why are they cooking such fancy, like, he's Michelin star trained, and he's like the way they operate this sandwich shop doesn't make sense to me, guys. Doesn't make sense to me at all, but I'm really enjoying it, the idea that they are doing that. And then Atlanta season 4 is back. It's great. Really a great show to just spend time with.
Is that released in,
like,
two parts or something? Because I remember you talking
about that. No, I don't think so. No, they just did season 3 and 4 very quickly after each other.
Oh, right.
So it's great. And then gigs wise, well, last weekend there was Ireland Music Week, of course. Got to see a load of new Irish bands for the first time in a while in real life. Also do the speed sessions. I managed Skinner, and he was playing there on Friday night, and there was just loads of great stuff on, and nice to just meet people again in that kind of, like, casual, chatty context. So that was lovely. I saw a load of bands on the Friday, especially, well, as much as I could, really, but not as many. You can never as much as you can, as you'd like. I saw Skinner, obviously, Ban Rian. What else did I see? The Scratch were just mad. They've got even louder really than like they were them. Before. And then I went to see on Thursday before, I went to see a band called Of All Living Things, which was very nice, in the Grand Social. And then Thursday evening, I went to see my most anticipated gig of the last of the year, because I knew it was on since April, is Over Mono. Very much, it was two electronic dudes, Truss and Trisella from England, kind of future garage, kind of Joy Orbison kind of style. Hackney Paris is one of the tracks that
I like. Joy Orbison,
Truss
as a
as Orbison, yeah, like made before. It's very much, it's very cool, very future based kind of garage electronic music, and they were absolutely brilliant. And do you know what was great about it? It was an early gig, so it was really nice to go to an early dancey gig and then go home afterwards, because I was up early the next morning. So, but it was great. They were absolutely brilliant. And Dave Balfe from For Those I Love came out and did their remix live with them. So yeah, really, really good.
That's cool.
Really great gig. So that's it. Yeah, that's it for me, for sure. In terms of things, there's so many albums I've still delving back into from the last 6 weeks, but things are kind of easing up now. Like I said, I'm going to be away at the end of the month, so we won't have a podcast then, but yeah, next week we're going to be chatting to Sorka Richardson about her new album Smiling Like an Idiot. And some of the influences that are brought to bear on that album as well. So anything else from you, Andrea?
No, that's it, I think, for me.
You've got your Loretta Lynn behind you there.
I've got Loretta. I've got Nora. It's all women today.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's that's my news. Big thing that happened in September. I started a PhD. So if anyone out there is running or is part of a women's inclusive of trans and non-binary people, music collective. Do make yourself known. If you're one of the big ones, I already know about you. But if you're doing something small or you're just setting something up, get in touch, because that is what my research project is about. With thanks to the Irish Research Council. I do think I have to say that, but you know,
every time, even if
I didn't have to say it, I would thank them anyway. Oh no, there are, yeah. Well, anyway, look, I'll tell you off mic. But anyway, yeah, with thanks to them, and yeah, if anyone's doing stuff like that, do get in touch with me. My email is in my Twitter bio, I think, or just DM me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Andrea@909.com, isn't it?
Yeah, you can get me there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Okay. We will talk to you next week. Thanks very, very much for listening, and tell your friends 909 podcast. Thanks. It's great. All right. R.I.P. Angela Lansbury too. What a legend.
Yeah.
Okay.
A real one. Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.